Good morning, Miami Town Church of Christ, as we meet for yet another online sermon. Before we get to this morning's sermon, our Palm Sunday sermon, I've got a few announcements I want to share with you just to keep us all on the same page here. I want to remind you that our leadership is meeting together on a weekly basis. We are meeting together digitally, not physically, but just wanted to let you know that we are meeting together on a weekly basis to stay in communication with each other and to do our best to navigate our church family through this very different time, very unique time for all of us. So with that said, until further notice, we will continue in this manner with our church services this way, with the video sermons, and to encourage you to have communion with those that you are quarantined with your family. If you're quarantined alone, to be able to have a communion time alone there. And I've heard stories of how you guys are doing that. And that's very, very encouraging to know that you're not letting our limitations limit you in your worship on a Sunday morning. And so, as we have done in the weeks prior, David, our new student minister, is providing for you a communion meditation if you would need to use that. And we want you to have that as a tool to be able to lead your family in communion every week. And so that is a link that is right, this rectangle that I'm in, that link is right underneath my feet. I'm almost standing on it when I put my feet down. But that link is down there, so you can click that, and it'll take you to the communion meditation David has prepared for you for this morning, and every morning that we're going to have a video sermon. We want to encourage you as a leadership to find time to worship God through song, through silence, through just being still and knowing that the God is God, through meditation in His Word, through prayer. It's great to gather together and worship together. And man, oh man, we miss this. I miss you guys. I miss hearing you on a Sunday morning. I miss all the hugs. I miss being able to communicate with you and be able to see, you know, responses. That's very important to a communicator. This is not very easy. So I'm looking forward to us all being together. And this is not easy. But we should always be worshiping God, whether we're able to gather together or even the times when we can gather together, we still should be worshiping God when we are separate. And maybe this can be just a really good exercise for all of us to draw a focus in on our personal worship time, that we need to have personal worship time. We need to spend time in worship with God outside of the worship service that when we do gather together. Many of you have remained faithful in your worship through your tithes and your offerings as you've been mailing those into the church. And that it's just very encouraging to know that none of these areas of our time of worship, spending time in God's Word through a sermon or being able to worship God in various other ways, whether it's prayer or through singing or through silence or meditation or worshiping God as we share in communion together on a Sunday or worshiping God through our gifts and our offerings, our tithes and our offerings. And it's really nice to see our church doing that and still being the church, even though we're separate. We're still being Miami Town Church of Christ together. And that's very, very encouraging to see that. So thank you for that encouragement. And I speak for myself as well as the leadership when it comes to that. Thank you. We also want to encourage you to stay healthy. Stay in your homes. Stay in. I know it's not easy. I know it's difficult. I know it's not what any of us really want to do, but it's tough, but it's helping. It's tough, but it's making a difference, and it only is going to make a difference if we all make a difference. And it's going to be the long term. It's going to be the long race. It's not going to be this, you know, short sprint. It's a marathon we're running here. And so the longer this goes on, we're looking at another month now of this quarantine. And we just need to stick to it because this is, we can't tell the future. We don't know what's going to happen in a month or 2 months or 3 months. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But this is what we're being told, that this is giving us the best shot we got at fighting against this thing. And so let's keep at it together. Let me encourage you, stay at it, stay at it. Every one of us need to do our part. We want to encourage you to continue tuning in, to our Sunday messages, our Sunday sermons. I appreciate all of you who listened to the entirety. I believe that we had better statistics this week that better represented what you guys are doing out there. This week, we got a chance to see that there were 37 full views of last week's message. And I know that some people are watching with their families, some people are watching alone, but if we take, you know, an average of three people represented per view, so 3 times 37, that's 111 people, and that's about an average Sunday for us. And so that's very encouraging to know that through this format that we are reaching a good majority of our church family through these videos. Want to encourage you that David, our student minister, he has a Wednesday night Bible story on Facebook at 6:30 every Wednesday night. He is doing a Bible story live on Facebook. He's covered Job and he's covered Esther so far and did a great job with both of those. And he has asked for your requests for Bible stories for however many weeks we have left that we're going to be doing this. And so if you have a Bible story that you would like for him to share, then contact him, send that into him, and that way he can get a good list of things together. Last week, I mentioned that I was wanting to put together a training tool, a teaching tool of Acts 2 times 8 equals 16. If you don't remember that, that was in last week's message. If you haven't listened to last week's message, then you get a chance to listen to this week and last week. I wanted to let you know, those videos are actually, they are recorded. There's some production side of things that I need to put some time into there and get those uploaded. So I'll upload as many of them as I can this week in connection with this sermon. We have a maximum amount of space that we can upload every week. So I'll upload as many of those this week as I can, and there'll be a link to those on our website. And then whatever I can't upload this week, I'll upload the next week. And then in the weeks to come, I will start my Revelation Bible study, and we'll be able to have that online, and I'll find a day that we can put those up on a regular basis. So that will be yet another way that you can tune in. So our Sunday sermons, David's Wednesday Facebook Live at 6:30, and then the teaching tool on Acts 2 times 8 equals 16. Acts 2:38 is in there, but Acts 2 times 8 equals 16, and that will be 4 different videos, I believe, is what that's going to be broken up into. So that's connecting with us in Scripture. We want to stay connected with you guys with your prayer requests, so I want to remind you that you can send your prayer requests into Karen. You can do that through the contact page on our website, miamitowncc.com. Go to contact us and you can select Karen and email her your prayer request there. Or you can email her directly if you have her email. It's karen@miamitowncc.com. You can also call the office and leave a voicemail for Karen. She is popping in about once a week and checking voicemails and then sharing those prayer requests with leadership so that we can stay connected with your prayer requests. We want you to connect with each other. I shared this last week as a desire that we all want to set a goal for ourselves, a goal number. We want two numbers of people that you're going to connect with every week. They don't have to be the same people every week, but we want to have the same number every week. And so we want to have a number of church people, church members, that we want to connect with every week. And we want to have a number of people outside our church that we want to reach out to every week. So same number every week, but they can be totally different people every week. But just as an incentive for us to connect with other people, as that's part of our mission statement, to invest in people, to grow in God and invest in people. And part of investing in people is connecting with them. So we want to encourage you to do that during this time. And that might form some habits that continue on way past this quarantine. And that can be very, very, very healthy. So, announcements. Palm Sunday. Today is Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is the name that has been given to the Sunday of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. This is the Sunday before his crucifixion on the cross, which happened on a Thursday, and then his resurrection from the grave on a Sunday, which was a week after Palm Sunday. The triumphal entry. The triumphal entry shows up in all four Gospels. There are only a few events that do show up in all four Gospels, and the triumphal entry is one of those events. And so for today's sermon, what I've done is I've pulled together different parts from the different Gospels to put together kind of a collaborated version of the account of the triumphal entry. And so I will have the scriptures, the scripture references on the screen as they are being read. And I might be able to include them also below the video here so that you'd be able to have those in a text format. The triumphal entry from all four Gospels. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you're doing this, say the Lord needs it and we'll send it back here shortly." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" And that's the title of today's Palm Sunday message. Who is this? Who is this? Let's go back to the beginning and just kind of walk through this a little bit. Some believe that Jesus had prearranged a loaner donkey with the owner, and that he knew where he was sending his disciples, and they would find this this young foal, this young donkey. And though there's nothing in any of the four Gospels that I see that describes this happening, this is kind of a common view among a lot of commentators. I believe this is a glimpse, just taking it for what it is in Scripture, that this is a glimpse of Jesus' omniscience, that he knew that there was going to be this donkey and that they were going to be able to encounter this donkey if they went into this village. It would be right there. And he knew that it would be a foal. And we're told that the donkey had never been ridden. This was a form of royal treatment, to ride an animal that had never been ridden. If you ask me, this doesn't seem like the form of royal treatment. This seems like a form of a disaster waiting to happen. I mean, an animal that's never been ridden, and a donkey, nonetheless. If my understanding is correct, donkeys are stubborn animals. And riding a donkey that had never been ridden, and you're going to do this maiden voyage through a crowd of loud shouting people, waving, rustling, flashing palm branches all around, this would not be the best scenario for your first ride on the back of any animal, much less a stubborn donkey. But yet, even though this scene and scenario is what it is, we see Jesus in full control. And we see that Jesus even brought peace to that young donkey that day, that young unridden animal. And this goes hand in hand with Matthew's choice to emphasize Jesus's gentleness and humility as he rides in on a donkey. Both Matthew and John quote Zechariah 9:9, but it's Matthew who emphasizes that King Jesus enters gentle and humble. And I think this is kind of neat to reflect on and just kind of sit back and kind of go, you know, isn't this the way Jesus rode into our hearts? His triumphal entry over your heart that he rode in, gentle and humble, to ride in. He doesn't ride in a conquest. Jesus didn't ride in that way. We're not conquered to be made into slaves unwillingly under his mighty power. We're the ones who respond to Jesus. And we invite his peaceful entry into our hearts. We bow by choice, not because we're forced to. Jesus wants brothers and sisters who love him freely, who love him as a result of their own will, not because they're being forced to do so. You know, in our world around us, we are constantly, we're so used to being sold to. Companies compete for our money. Entertainment competing for our attention. Politicians competing for our allegiance. But Jesus doesn't take that approach, does he? His approach is represented right here in this Palm Sunday, this triumphal entry, as he enters gentle and humble. Jesus, his approach isn't flashy. Jesus didn't spend hours with an advertising company. He didn't invest into a publicity consultant. How will we respond to that? I mean, it's a choice. It's a choice for every one of us. It's not out of compulsion that we choose Jesus. It's not because we've been forced into it. It's not because we caved into a pressure sales tactic. It's not because we trembled at his powerful judgment. No, our choice comes because we see Jesus humble and gentle as a humble, gentle servant of God who came to reveal God's love to us, to reveal God's compassion to us, to reveal God's desire to have a relationship with us. And we see that reflection in this Palm Sunday in the triumphal entry. And it reminds me of how he rode into each of our hearts in that triumphal entry into our hearts. The people all around Jesus were quoting Psalm 118. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Hosanna is a word that means please help or please save. They were seeking hope in Jesus as the Messiah. These comments make it clear that a number of those people that were there on that original Palm Sunday, they understood that Jesus was the promised Messiah, saying things like this, quoting verses like Psalm 118, believing that Jesus was the promised Messiah that would liberate them, that would save them, that would deliver them. And they placed their hope in him. These recent events in our time, these events that have caused us to have these online meetings and video sermons and home communion in our homes, they've shaken our stability. So many of the things that we put our hope in, that they've been shaken during this time. Things like our health, our family's health, the health of our loved ones, our economy has been shaken, our investments, our jobs, our job security, our health insurance. So many things have been shaken in these uncertain times right now. We have so many question marks, so many things that we question, so many things that we wonder, But let me assure you that we never have to question the one true hope, and that is Jesus. We never have to doubt that Jesus is the one who will deliver us, who will save us, that Jesus is our hope, that the only one true source of hope is Jesus. And that maybe a lot of us needed to be reminded of that. Maybe it's good to have all of these lesser hopes shaken down so that it would reveal our one true hope, the hope in Jesus, the hope that cannot be shaken. Man, I miss having you guys here. Statements like that, I just is silent, but I know that if you were here and we were all gathered together in person, there would be some amens in our one hope in Jesus. On that Palm Sunday, they said, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he." They were singing praises to Jesus. They were shouting praises, acclamations to Jesus. Church, let us be singing praises today on this Palm Sunday, some 2,000 years later, of how Jesus brings us hope, how he brings us deliverance and salvation. They were praising Jesus. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they were praising him out of just a veil of hope in what they thought was going to be their deliverance, or the way he was going to be an earthly Lord or earthly king. We're on this side of the cross. We have seen his deliverance. We have seen his salvation. We understand it. How much more should we be shouting, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord"? Are you giving glory to God today, this morning? No matter what situation we find ourselves in, no matter what circumstance we find surrounding us, Jesus came in the name of the Lord. They said, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Jesus didn't come in on his own name. He came representing God. He came in full representation of God the Father in heaven. Jesus came down from heaven to earth. "Hosanna in the highest," they said, lifting his name up and bowing to his supremacy. "Hosanna in the highest." Let us be reminded as we read these words from that original Palm Sunday that God is in control, that God is over all, that God is above all. Let us be reminded of this, not only in times where things are being shaken, but may we be reminded of this in all times. Anytime we reread this account in any of the four Gospels of the triumphal entry in this Palm Sunday, that God is in control, that God orchestrated these events to happen the way they did and when they did at the time of Jesus, and God is still in control today. Matthew also records that after this event, that the whole city was stirred, and they asked that question, "Who is this? Who is this?" And that's our question this morning. That's the sermon title this morning. That's our question, who is this? Now, I want you to answer in your heart. Find the answer in your heart. Who is this? Not who was this, but who is this right now? Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you right this second, right this moment, right now? And be honest. Be honest with yourself. Really, really reflect on that and dig in deep. He might have been your Lord at one time, and yet you still claim to wear the name Christian. But now, as things have been shaken, it's been kind of revealed that we haven't been putting our trust in him as our Lord, and that he's in full control because we've been shaken by all of this. So who's Lord now? Who is he now? He might have been your sole source of peace at one time, but who is this now? Who is he now? Are you at peace right now? Or has the source of your peace been revealed because of all the things that have been shaken lately. He might have been your strong defender, your foundation of stability, your source of security. But has your recent source of security been revealed through the hopes that have been shaken recently? So these are times where it's really good for us to ask, because I think we can get very honest answers within our hearts. Who is this? Who is this? Some welcomed Jesus with shouts of acclamation. But days later, we read that there were other shouts coming from a crowd with a different message. They were shouting, "Crucify him." Next week is Easter, Easter Sunday. And our Easter sermon series is called Great Expectations. And it's about how people had different expectations of Jesus back then. And Jesus didn't always fill their expectations in the way that they anticipated that he would. And what happened then for them, and what happens to us now when Jesus does that, when he doesn't fill our expectations the way that we anticipate, then there's a little bit of disappointment. There's a little bit of that lag that we go, it's not quite how I expected that to happen. But that disappointment is quickly replaced by excitement when we realize that Jesus didn't do things the way you had expected him to, and thankfully he didn't, because the route he chose to take that was different than the route that you anticipated was much better. And so we're going to be talking about great expectations in the weeks to come, starting next Sunday in our Easter sermon. But this sermon, it fits as a prologue to this up-and-coming series, because the people on Palm Sunday, they expected the Messiah to lead them as a political leader, as a political power, to liberate them from their oppressors, that he would be a mighty king and Lord over all here on earth. Only to be shocked days later as he gave his life on the cross and as he gave his last breath and surrendered his life, and they buried him in a tomb. And their hopes, which were alive and vibrant on that Palm Sunday, much like the palm branches that they were waving that had just been cut from the trees, bright and green. But days later, I can only imagine what that road looked like, that dusty road going into the golden gates of Jerusalem. And days later, those palm branches that were vibrant and green were now dry and withered and brown and scattered and blown about. And I can only imagine that this was what became of their hopes also. That just like those palm branches that were once vivid and alive and green, that were now shriveled and dried and brown, that represented their hope. That it went from a hope that was alive to a hope that was dry and withered, to a hope that was scattered and confused. But we know the story, and they got a chance to witness the story. On the third day, Jesus was raised from the dead by the power of the Father. And he did things differently than they had expected, but it turned out far better than they had anticipated. And so that's going to be the way the next few sermons are going to roll out, this understanding of these great expectations and how sometimes God takes a different route, but it's better that he did. Palm Sunday. We see palm branches two times in the New Testament. This scene in John's gospel, where John makes a very specific reference to the palm branches being used in the triumphal entry. And then we see them again in another book that John authors. in the book of Revelation. In chapter 7 of the book of Revelation, we see a picture of all of those who are saved by Jesus, all of those who have been sealed by the Holy Spirit coming into their life, into their heart, dwelling within inside them as a seal of the guarantee of what's to come. We see all of those who had accepted the gift of eternal life that God offered by believing, repenting, and being baptized into Christ. And we see this picture and we see these palm branches in Revelation chapter 7, starting in verse 9. It says, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" They were holding palm branches. Church, we will have a Palm Sunday of our own. We will together wave palm branches. Not at the triumphal entry with veiled hopes of an earthly Messiah. No, our Palm Sunday will be when we leave this earth and our hope is fully discovered. And there are no more expectations, but only the experienced reality of eternity with God, eternal life with God. And we will have new bodies, and we will be in a new heaven and a new earth, and there will be no death, there will be no disease, no sickness, no viruses. Every tear will be wiped away, that where mourning and pain will cease forever, where everything is made new. And on that day, church, we will have a Palm Sunday. We will have Palm Sunday number 2. We will wave palm branches together and we will cry out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." In the triumphal entry, on that Sunday, some 2,000 years ago, Jesus came riding in on a donkey, a young donkey, riding in gentle and humble. However, the picture of Jesus' second coming is quite different. This picture is also found in the book of Revelation, and Jesus is not riding in on some adolescent donkey, humble and gentle. No, Jesus is riding in on a great white steed with power and authority. And we read this in Revelation chapter 19, starting in verse 11. John says, "I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on them that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." So on this Palm Sunday, remember when they waved the palm branches on that dusty road leading into Jerusalem, that Jesus came the first time in gentleness and in humility, giving us a chance to choose to experience his Father's grace, a chance to choose to experience his Father's compassion, his Father's forgiveness, getting a chance to choose willingly to experience his Father's love. But there will be another Palm Sunday. There will be another time when palm branches are waved. And it will be a time of true celebration for all of us, for all of us who have been saved, for all of us who have responded to God's offer for salvation. Jesus will return in power, and he will return in authority, and he will be riding forth in vindication for the believers, riding out in judgment over all of mankind, and in full lordship and supremacy over the heavens and the earth. So I ask you this morning, who is this? Who is this? Have you responded? Have you responded to the gentle, humble first coming of Jesus? Has he ridden into your heart and brought peace just as he did on that Palm Sunday some 2,000 years ago? And is that, as the result of that day, are you excited? Are you excited for a heavenly Palm Sunday that is to come? That day when God's children will wave palm branches together, side by side with all of those who have called God Father through the name of Jesus Christ. Are you excited to see Jesus riding forth in power and authority? Or have you not yet prepared for that day? God has extended to you that invitation, the invitation to participate in that Palm Sunday that we read about in Revelation. That invitation has been extended to you, but you first have to participate in the first Palm Sunday and let Jesus ride into your life gently and humbly, by responding to his offer. Do you believe? Have you turned to God? Have you given your life to him? Have you been baptized into Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins and for the gift of the Holy Spirit? On this Palm Sunday, reflect on these things. Has Jesus gently and humbly ridden into your heart and brought hope and peace? Palm Sunday part 2 is coming. Will you be holding a palm branch on that day? Pray with me. Father, we thank you so much for getting a chance to reflect on that Palm Sunday 2,000 years ago. Father, I thank you that we get a chance to see this picture in Revelation of Palm Sunday part 2. Father, I pray that that would be an encouragement for all of us who have placed our faith in you, for all of us who have allowed your Son to gently and humbly ride into our hearts. He didn't come the first time in conquest. He came so that we would have a choice, so that we would willingly choose him. Father, I pray for anyone listening to this message that they would reflect on who you are. Who is this? Who you are to them today? If they've been a Christian for 40, 50 years, or if they have not yet made that decision, that commitment to you, I pray this would be a Sunday to reflect. A Sunday that we would think about Palm Sunday and how that represents that day that Jesus rode into our life humbly and gently. And the hope we have in the Palm Sunday we look forward to. The Palm Sunday mentioned in Revelation, where we get a chance to see your Son in full power, in full glory, in full authority, in full supremacy. Thank you so very much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.